Today on Rainbow Country, filmmaker Joseph Clement, plus music from LGBT recording artists from around the world. But on this episode, we'll feature LGBT artists from Toronto. Stay tuned for Gay Talk Radio Toronto Style right here on Rainbow Country.
Hi, I'm Mayor John Tory, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Rainbow Country may use words or phrases not suitable for all audiences. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, we all have a story to tell. And it starts right here on this gay radio show. We lift our voices, share our stories, and we will raise our pride. After all, we've come a long way since 1969 and the Stonewall riots to the legalization of same-sex marriage. I'm Mark Tara. Join me on this continuing journey through Rainbow Country. Child. This is CIUT 89.5 FM, and this is Rainbow Country, the station's gay radio show, giving voice to the LGBT community. It's so fantastic, honey. I am out of breath. What is going on? I don't know, but maybe we'll talk about it. So, I am your tour guide. I am your host. Through Rainbow Country, I'm Mark Tara. A little bit about me. I am an LGBT content creator. I'm also a recording artist. Let's get social. Get interactive on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. Honey, follow me. I'll follow you back. Do you want to be on Rainbow Country? Do you want to be on CIUT? Are you a filmmaker? Are you a musician? Do you want me to play your music? I will. Get in touch. Send me an email. Mark@marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes as well as on Podomatic.com. And again, thanks to you on Podomatic's gay and lesbian chart. Rainbow Country's in the top 10. Yay! And that's thanks to you. And again, everything is hooked up through my website, marktara.com. marktara.com. So, this is episode 55 on today's show. I actually have two live guests in studio, and I'm so excited, I'm out of breath. I have Shannon Kelly, artistic director from the 13th annual Real Heart International Film Festival. And I also have filmmaker Joseph Clement. We'll hear about his new documentary, Integral Man. Plus, as always, music from LGBT recording artists from around the world. Like I said at the top of the show, on this episode, featuring artists from here at home, Toronto. So my friends, this journey through Rainbow Country begins right now with Toronto group Genderfix featuring Kate Ashley, Getaway Car.
Hi, this is Carol Pope on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Bye.
Welcome back. This is Rainbow Country, CIUT's gay radio show, and I'm your tour guide. I'm your host, I'm Mark Tara. And joining me live in studio, Shannon Kelly, artistic director of the 13th annual Real Heart International Film Festival. Shannon Kelly, welcome.
Thank you, Mark. Good to see you.
I'm glad you made it.
Me too.
And we also have Joseph Clement, director of the new documentary Integral Man. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
So, how are you both doing on such a wonderful early morning, midnight?
So far, so good.
And Shannon?
So far, so good. We're in day two of Real Heart, so it's going good. I left a whole bunch of people at a 4th of July barbecue on a rooftop.
Are you American?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't know that.
That's
girl.
Okay.
So you are the artistic director of the Real Heart
International Film Festival.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's running up until July the 8th, Saturday. Give us a bit of background, if you will, Shannon, on Real Heart Film Festival. How did it start? What can people expect in 2017? That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it started actually 14 years ago. It takes about a year to put anything together in any kind of industry. And we're celebrating our 13th year of programming this year. We started out as a three-day festival, and we blossomed into a six-day festival in our second year. We used to screen a slate of over 100 films, documentaries, and then we moved in 2007 to a film and screenplay festival. We started a screenplay competition element to our festival as well for short screenplays and feature screenplays. So both sides of the festival are very, very robust. We have a very competitive documentary competition, short and feature, as well as feature films, short films, experimental film, animation film, and we also have specialty categories. We're a no-niche festival. Mm-hmm. We, Real Heart, believes in all cultures under one roof, but we do have some specialty categories where we award, and one of them is Best LGBTQ Film.
Yeah, and that's happening on Thursday, this coming Thursday on the 6th.
Yeah, we're very busy on Thursday. We've got a day, we've dedicated a day to LGBTQ. Normally we've dedicated a program, we call it Filmed with Pride.
Okay.
But we've had some just wonderful films this year, so we've actually dedicated two screening blocks on Thursday and a screening block Friday.
Yeah, at the 519.
Actually, we're doing two encore presentations at the 519.
Right.
We're doing one with the Gay Negro and the Holy Mountain, David Lyons from Germany. He's in town with his wife and his brand new baby daughter. And it's
On Thursday at 7?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No, his is a Thursday in the afternoon at 1:45, and then he has an encore screening down at the 519 at 7 o'clock on Thursday.
And on
he's going to be in attendance.
And on the Friday at the 519, that's the Lance Bass narrated film.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Yeah, he's a Southern Baptist boy. Imagine that, you know. So, yeah, it's about just a very sad story of, you know, the whole AIDS epidemic and how in Louisiana there were really no rights for anybody, and a group called ACT UP, Shreveport, kind of got all that happening for them down there. And Lance is the perfect person to narrate that film since he was born a Southern, grew up a Southern Baptist in that area.
Yeah, so talk to me about Real Heart in regards to how you guys choose your films that will be part of the festival. Talk to me about that process.
Sure. It's a long process. The day after we give notifications in March, probably about 2 days later, we start our submission season for our next season. It is a little over an 11-month process. We have different submission platforms through Film Freeway and through our own festival website and other festival submission websites as well. And the films come to us from all over the world. I think to date in our 13-year history, we have films that have made it from about 51 different countries.
Right.
This year might be our first year that we have had films from Turkey. We have actually two from Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Those films get adjudicated by people on my programming team, and I also am part of that programming team. I'm actually the head programmer. What you finally see is my sort of final decision. And it's a very long process. Any film festival programmer in the city will tell you to get to the good stuff, you've got to see a lot of bad stuff.
Right. I can imagine.
And, you know, you have to give... Here's the thing, though. You have to give each film and each filmmaker the respect it deserves.
Sure.
You have to watch it from minute one to minute none, whether you like it or not. And that's not necessarily the practice around the world. Over the 5,500 different film festivals, that's not the practice. But that's been our motto since we started, which is we'll watch your film from minute one to minute none. Because we want to give that filmmaker the respect for going through that process.
Sure.
So the programming team looks at all the films, and then they start to grade them out of a particular score that has to hit the same score over and over again through two or three rounds. And it's sort of the same with our film, our screenplays, both short and feature. We have readers all around the world, and they have a very heavy, busy reading season. They start... It takes them 10 or 11 months to get through all the scripts that are submitted to us. And then we wind up picking the short list. And out of the short list, we do find our top three shorts and our top three features. And today we actually just finished our top three shorts. They're live script reads. We award the screenwriters some products from our screenwriting supporters, such as Final Draft and Inktip and iPitch TV. And we also give them a rehearsed cast of type live read.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is, if the script calls for a six-year-old girl who has an English accent, we're going to actually try to find a little girl who's actually English, or can she actually put on that accent to a believable degree. And we're a mentoring festival, so we try to get everybody who has submitted to our festival, whether it's a filmmaker or screenplay, we try to get them to the next step in their career. So we try to mentor the screenwriter by getting those scripts polished, and that's part of the reason for the live read. It's what does this sound like now? Is it ready to go or is it not? And then we help them with that rewrite process. Mm-hmm. And with filmmakers, we try to help them with the business of filmmaking. A lot of filmmakers make a film, but they don't understand the business side for distribution, how to even approach people, how to go to film markets, that sort of thing. So we try to teach filmmakers the business side. Of filmmaking. So even from something as simple as social media, what's your Twitter, what's your Insta, what's your this, what's your that, we try to help them build their kit and hopefully improve the business side of what they're doing creatively.
And send them on their way.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
Fly, little bird, fly.
So Joseph Clement, what has your experience been like in regards to festivals when you've... Because I'm sure with your films, you've been part of them. What's, in a nutshell, what's that been like for you?
Sure, it's been a very interesting experience, I guess. The Hot Dogs Film Festival, actually, this year was my first festival. So I don't have a huge depth in terms of festival work, but have been making films and working in film for a while and know a lot of people who've gone through some of the really great festivals and through that rigor, and the team that I've worked on or worked with have definitely been in that situation. It's great. It's kind of overwhelming. You always want to see so many films, but you end up having to do so much for your own film.
Yeah.
You get to see so few of the ones, so it's actually kind of... it's nice when you're not in them, too.
Yeah. So you have a new documentary called Integral Man that opens on Friday, July the 7th. You're going to have a two-week run at the Hot Docs Ted Rogers Cinema. That's at 506 Bloor Street West, Bloor and Bathurst, the old Bloor Cinema. I remember that. I used to go there.
Yeah.
I don't anymore. It's too far. I'll actually go to Carlton because Carlton Cinema, 20 Carlton Street, basically young and college people, because I live like basically right there. Mm. So your documentary, Integral Man, what is this documentary all about?
In a nutshell, it's about a really complex relationship, I guess, between a man and his career, his passions, and this piece of architecture that he was kind of driven to build because of his obsession with calculus and classical music. And Jim Stewart is the kind of the impresario, the man at the center of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a world-renowned calculus author, concert level violinist, and partly responsible for the gay rights movement in Canada. So, and nobody really knew anything about him.
Wow.
So he's kind of an incredible character to kind of discover, and really a deeply important person in the role of culture and the support of the culture and the arts, and in the city of Toronto and in Canada.
Wow, well said. Well, let's take a little musical break. Let's listen to Random Order's Black Lipstick Kiss from the film S&M Sally. Let's take a listen.
This is City Councilor Kristen Wong Tam, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Rainbow Country, CIUT's gay radio show, and I'm your host, I'm your tour guide, Mark Tara. And joining me in studio, as you just heard a little behind the scenes of them chatting, are my guests live in studio. I have Joseph Clement, director of Integral Man, and Shannon Kelly, artistic director of the Real Heart Film Festival. Again, welcome to you guys.
Hello, hello.
Thanks again, Mark. I love this time slot, I have to say. I love it.
Do you?
I do.
So do I.
It's beautiful outside. There's...
Yes.
There's
yes.
Little creatures running around. I just saw a skunk on the way here. It was adorable. I love it.
So, like I said, I'll get you guys to get right up on your mics and get comfortable. So, Shannon Kelly, let's talk about Thursday... Mm-hmm. July the 6th, filmed with Pride and Afternoon, basically a day of LGBTQ films. You're spotlighting four films, four LGBT films. There's Time to Pay, Run for the Truth, The Gay, the Negro, and the Holy Mountain, and Small Town Rage, Fighting Back in the Deep South, and that film is narrated by Lance Bass. Mm-hmm. So is this a regular part of Real Heart?
It is indeed. We've always...
You've always had a gay contingency, so to speak.
We've always had, since day one. As I mentioned earlier on another show, and here we believe...
Howl.
We believe in all cultures under one roof. And mm-hmm. so everybody is part of our culture. And so we always had a focus on LGBTQ films and gave them their own spotlight. We used to actually... When we first started our festival, we used to run the last week of June, so we were right there with Pride, and we used to do some satellite screenings during Pride.
And what was that like?
Actually, because the screenings were not in the neighborhood,
okay,
it was a tough road to hoe. We were really having to slog a lot to get people out, and so we're very thankful that we finally made that connection with the 519 this year, mm-hmm. and so they just. One film, they just said, what are the films? And we gave them the synopsis, and mm-hmm. we showed them a little clip, and they're like, we're doing this. We're finally doing this. And so we're so happy to be in the community because, the films need to be seen by who they mean something to.
Right.
And the filmmakers need to be exposed to the people that they're making the films for.
Right.
And it's for everybody, but at the same time, it's for... our brothers and sisters in the LGBT community.
Yeah. So let's drill down mm-hmm. in regards to what's happening on Thursday. Essentially, there are three locations. There's part of U of T. Mm-hmm. There is the Carlton Cinema, mm-hmm. and there's the 519. Mm-hmm. So on Thursday, July the 6th at 1:45 p.m., mm-hmm. it's Woodworth College, part of U of T, mm-hmm. 117 St. George Street, room 121. Mm-hmm. There you'll see Time to Pay, Run for the Truth, The Gay, the Negro, and the Holy Mountain. And then later on at 6:45, again, this is on Thursday, July the 6th, at the Carlton Cinema, 20 Carlton Street, you'll see Small Town Rage, Fighting Back in the Deep South, making its Canadian premiere, and that's narrated by Lance Bass. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, on Thursday, July the 6th, at the 519, an encore presentation of The Gay, the Negro, and the Holy Mountain.
Mm-hmm. And David Lyons will be here.
And he is the director.
Yes, he's here from Germany. Mm-hmm.
What, have you spoken to him?
I haven't spoken to him yet. I hope to speak with him tomorrow.
Yeah.
But what an interesting documentary. He first started filming his subject, Marcus, who's a craftsman. He does woodwork, that sort of thing. Mm. And David being an interracial person, and he somehow found a parallel between their two lives together about how they were living one life for the public and another life privately. And how he wove that story together is quite interesting. Mm-hmm. And you've got to see it. It's provocative, to say the least. And intimate and a little bittersweet.
Yeah.
You know, that people can't live the lives that they really should be living.
Right.
Is sort of the message.
So everything that I just mentioned and you were just talking about, that's happening on Thursday, mm-hmm. July the 6th. On Friday, July the 7th at 7 p.m., it's the encore presentation at the 519 for Small Town Rage, Fighting Back in the Deep South. Again, that film narrated by Lance Bass. Mm-hmm. And for more information, because it's a lot of information for the listeners to just mm-hmm. like hear.
Yeah, go to our website. It's so simple. We've
exactly.
We've got such a tiny little domain name, realheart.org. That's realheart.org. And the filmmakers will be at both presentations for Small Town Rage, Fighting Back in the Deep South. Mm-hmm. So they'll be at their film screening at 6:45 p.m. And then they'll be...
At the Carlton.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then they'll be at their encore presentation at the 519 as well. That's director Radra Hall and David Hyland from the U.S. They'll both be in attendance.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And are they in town right now?
They're arriving tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. And The Small Town Rage has been nominated for Best Documentary Feature, Best LGBTQ Film, and Best Sound and Best Editing.
Nice.
Yeah, very nice.
So what is the best part for you when doing the Real Heart Film Festival?
Seeing the films come in to us and getting some wonderful surprises that come into us. Mm-hmm. From filmmakers that, okay, you're not going to see Julia Roberts here, you're not going to see Brad Pitt, but you're definitely going to see filmmakers that have worked with them, mm-hmm. and now they're making their own films. And it's wonderful to see films come in from names that I would know and names that other people would know if they watch any sort of television or video on demand or any recent movie, and these people are working in a different department, let's say, and now they're making their own films and standing on their own feet, and it's wonderful. That part is super, super wonderful.
And the hardest part?
And the hardest part?
Having to reject some content?
No, the hardest part is...
That's the easy part, Mark.
You know, the hardest part, Mark, honestly, if I were to be honest at this time of day, I'm going to say there's 109 film festivals in this city. Mm-hmm. And you have to have a competition with all 109 of them. We're not going to compete with TIFF or Hot Dogs.
Yeah.
Toronto seems to love that niche festival, the left-handed, red-headed vegan festival, or, you know, any sort of festival that's a niche festival. We are not. We're an open genre festival. Mm-hmm. And when you say open genre, people are like, well, I don't really know what that means. But it's so simple. It means everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. And that's the word we want to get out to everybody. Yeah. And our films they cost $12 to come and see. The quality is just as good as you're going to find at TIFF, just as good as you're going to find at Hot Dogs. But everybody can afford $12. But not everybody can afford TIFF and Hot Dogs all the time. So that's the hardest part for us, is cutting through all of those other 109 festivals and having our voice heard. Mm-hmm. And we do a darn good job of it around the world, but in our own city, sometimes it's a little hard to get people out because they are used to the big two, which is TIFF and Hot Dogs. Mm-hmm. And you have to have some extra funding money, and all that funding does go to advertising because it's very expensive to advertise in the city to get your name and your sound splashed all over the place. But what's interesting, ever since we started, we knew, okay, we've got to grow fast. We are what we call a web-savvy film festival.
Right.
And when you do Google us, TIFF has one notch in the first place on page one, and then the rest of it is all Real Heart, because we spend a lot of time reaching out to our communities.
And you do it with heart.
We do it with heart. Yeah, but we don't just reach out to the local communities. We reach out around the world. And when you Google us, we're everywhere. And
well
that's,
said.
And that's
well said.
The hardest part, but it's the rewarding part.
Yeah. So let's take another little musical break. We'll listen to Ashley McIsaac's Hubert Story from his current record, Fiddler. FLDR. And when we return, we'll also chat more with Joseph Clement and find out more about his documentary, Integral Man. Stay with me.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Segato, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
The 13th annual Real Heart International Film and Screenplay Festival runs July 3rd to the 8th. On July 6th, it's All Filmed with Pride, a day dedicated to LGBTQ films, featuring Time to Play from England, Run for the Truth from France, The Gay, the Negro, and the Holy Mountain from Germany, and Small Town Rage, Fighting Back in the Deep South, narrated by Lance Bass. Tickets just $12. For more information, go to realheart.org. R-E-E-L, heart.org.
And welcome back. This is CIUT's gay radio show, Rainbow Country, and I am your host. I'm your tour guide through Rainbow Country. I am Mark Tara, and again, I am joined live in studio by my two guests, Joseph Clement, director of the new documentary, Integral Heart. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
And Shannon Kelly, artistic director of the Real Heart International Film and Screenplay Festival. Welcome back.
And I love how you blended the two of our names together. He made a film called The Integral Heart. I love that. I love that.
There you go. That's why you're sharing the hour, damn it. So, Joseph Clement, your new documentary, Integral Man, it's opening this Friday, July the 7th, and you're going to have a two-week run at the Hot Docs Ted Rogers Cinema. That's a mouthful.
So it was
506 Bloor Street West, Bloor and Bathurst area. How long did it take you to make Integral Man?
It was much longer than we had anticipated, actually. It was supposed to... originally, the film was a 15-minute short documentary on architecture, on the architecture of the house itself. But the film ended up evolving into a much larger project and took 5 years from conception to completion.
5 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
So many things changed and evolved along the way. So as we kind of began to peel the layers of the onion back, so to speak, it kind of revealed itself in this really, really amazing, incredible situation presented itself. So it demanded to be documented.
Now, you and I have a little bit of history together, because in 2015, mm-hmm. I was doing some gay programming with CIUT on Church Street at Akasha right. Art Projects.
Yeah, that's right.
And you were one of the guests that came on. And at that point, Shannon, James was saying, I'm working on this documentary called Integral Man, and you were talking about that. And now here we are. It's yeah. actually done.
Yeah. That was at the very final stages of the film when we were shooting, and we were shooting in 35 millimeter. So mm-hmm. that year we spent shooting in 35, and so that was kind of like our main focus at that point. So we really were pushing really hard. We had really great luck in how we came about getting all those ends of the reels and everything to make it happen. So right. we really worked very hard through that summer to get it. That summer, and actually all four seasons, but that summer in particular.
Yeah. And that was when you were ending
the yeah, process? That was, yeah, we had, that was...
That was 2015?
Yeah, that was, well, that was when we were wrapping up shooting, ended at the end of 2015, and then
okay.
End of 2015 and 2016 was editing, a year and a half of editing.
Wow.
So
how long is the documentary?
It's 62 minutes, so it's not a long hour, it's a short hour. Mm-hmm. It's a short feature. but it... was a really interesting story to unpack and to tell, and we actually ended up leaving... There's enough footage left behind to create another 60 or 70-minute documentary as well.
Wow.
So it was a really interesting decision that took a lot of back and forth to figure out what we were going to tell, how we were going to tell it, and why we weren't going to make one 90-minute film.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, it came out being a much stronger film. So I'm glad we decided to do that.
Wow. So Shannon, what is, in terms of a short film and a feature-length film, in terms of running time, where is that difference?
Well, with Joseph's film, we would call that a long-form film. Anything
okay.
that's just hitting under 74 minutes is a long-form film.
That's hitting under 74.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, I think 72 is probably the max. It depends also where your film is going, what it's viewed as. Different
okay.
windows have different structures. Regular broadcast, or theatrical release, you know, they're expecting something to come in around the 90-minute mark.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting. I wanted to hear a little bit more about Joseph's story as to that other 60 minutes. When you have that filmmaking mind, when somebody drops that on the table, you go, I need to know everything about that other 60 minutes. So I'm dying if it's, I don't know.
So
do you want to
share?
So
Joseph,
sure, yeah.
What comprises that other,
well,
the stuff that's on the cutting room floor?
It's actually, there's quite a bit of Jim's life. The house is, the story of Jim Stewart's life is really this, the man, the music, and the mathematics, and mm-hmm. through that came Integral House. So there's a lot of really important aspects to Jim's life that were very important in a broader context. But in terms of this story we were telling, didn't fit the experiential narrative, because the film is a very visual, it's a visual means of storytelling as
right.
much as it is a narrative means of storytelling. We were very, very much so focused on the film itself being a piece of art and not just a traditional kind of linear narrative documentary. So
about, say, his life.
Exactly.
Okay.
So even though Jim was incredibly important and one of the kind of people, one of the founders almost of the gay rights movement in Canada, along with George Hislop, that doesn't factor hugely into this narrative in this particular film.
Right.
Because it started to make the film into this biographical sort of document, which it really wasn't. It was about the man, the house, and the music, and
right.
it was all part of it. But it wasn't that kind of. That
you weren't telling his life story.
Yeah, it wasn't about. It was the house came to be because Jim was like the most published mathematician since Euclid, so incredibly published and consequently wealthy. Individual mm-hmm. who had a deep love and passion for classical music played in the symphony orchestra and was a concertmaster of the McMaster Symphony Orchestra. And it was those two things that brought him to build Integral House.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the real kind of the three key aspects of it. So there was a whole, you know, Gerald Moldenhauer, who is the founder of Glad Day Books
yes.
Shop, kind of came into the picture in a really unusual way, in such that we were looking for
body politic.
Yeah, but this was really crazy how we were just looking for stock footage to mm-hmm. put in as placeholder
mm-hmm.
When we were cutting the film together. So we just Googled like Toronto vintage Toronto Pride
mm-hmm.
footage and figuring we found some very early footage, and it was online, and we're scanning through and like, wow, this is like from the very beginning, like 1972 or 71, and we're looking at all the footage, and we all of a sudden this guy walks by with a placard, and it's Jim Stewart, walks right into the frame and right towards the camera, and
wow,
we're just like, oh my god. So we got in contact with the owner, and it turned out to be Gerald Moldenhauer. And so it was really fascinating, and all these bits and pieces of these dovetailing kind of
yeah.
Toronto narratives. And
have you heard of a documentary called Track 2, Enough is Enough?
No, I haven't.
It's on YouTube. It's and it's called Track 2, the word 2,
yeah.
Enough is Enough. And basically it's about the rise of the gay movement here in Toronto. It was made, I think, in 81, 82,
oh,
when
wow.
the bathhouse raids happened. And
yeah.
basically, they're documenting that, basically, as it happened.
Wow.
And, you know, the marches that spontaneously came together and all that sort of stuff. So I highly recommend that you check that out.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating.
Track 2, Enough is Enough. It's on YouTube.
And
yeah.
was that in response to what was happening in the States at the time, the Stonewall?
Well, the Stonewall was in the 60s, and this particular...
the 80s.
This was in the early 80s,
okay.
like 81, 82, because the bathhouse raids, right, that happened here in
right.
Toronto. Yeah. So I'm curious, Joseph, and I think I called you James earlier. There's so many J's.
Yeah.
So James was a gay man,
mm-hmm.
and he built the Integral House,
yeah.
and he literally wrote the book on calculus mm-hmm. that people study in school, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you yourself are a gay person.
Yeah.
So did you want to make this film because of that connection?
Yeah, no, for me, it was the architecture. I didn't even know Jim Stewart was gay when I met him. That was part of what came out. And just, you know, when you agree to do a documentary and somebody spend a lot of time sitting down and interviewing them and whatnot. And then I had kind of heard about these parties that would go on at Integral House, because after the Pride Parade every year, he would like basically open up Integral House and invite hundreds of people up and have these really big parties and stuff like that. So I had an inkling, but I had been living in New York while this house was being completed, and I was working there as a landscape architect. And so I, as it was coming into its life as an independent space and the home of Jim Stewart, I wasn't in the city at that point. So it was afterwards that, you know, so I wasn't really as aware of the narrative around it.
Right.
And I hadn't ever met or heard of Jim Stewart prior. So I kind of started to come into my awareness only at that point. So it was really the architecture that was driving it, and a meeting with Bridget Shim, one of the architects of the house in New York, that was the catalyst for that whole project and to begin.
Now, we were talking before we were talking in the green room, although there really isn't a green room here at CIUT. We were talking in a little office somewhere about the cost of Integral House, and my understanding was it costs about, you know, 30, 35 million to build, to create. And you were saying, no, Mark, not correct. So why don't you fill us in?
Well, I mean, that number is a bit of urban lore, but those are what the kind of the stuff that always makes it more interesting.
Yes, 35 million, hello. So
it's a very tantalizing number that everybody really loves to kind of speculate on and kind of grabs a lot of attention. But I mean, it was definitely in the 20s of million over, I don't know the exact number actually, but it was definitely under 30 and it was definitely over 20.
Yeah.
So it was by no means, but as Jim always said, you know, I didn't build this house to sell, I built this house to live in. So he's like that in his mind, like, you know, Frank Gehry, who doesn't really agree to do private residences, actually agreed to build a house for Jim. And then Jim decided that he didn't actually want to work with Frank Gehry. So then went out and found himself some new architects. But so he had a vision and he had an idea, and it's what he wanted to do. And his vision wasn't specific. His vision was very broad. He wanted a house with curves and a concert hall.
And I highly recommend that people Google Integral House and see the photos that's out there.
Or the movie.
Or your documentary. Absolutely.
That 62-minute documentary.
It's
to get, you know, an idea of what we're talking about.
It's incredible.
It's beautiful. It's huge. And actually, last fall, I was in there covering an event that I aired a couple weeks later for Community One, that organization. And it's a huge house and a huge concert space and all that sort of good stuff. And it was fascinating being in there.
Yeah, it's a very, it's a stunning. I mean, after about three years of looking and filming in the house before, I stopped noticing new things. And it's just, you've never seen it. The entire house is handcrafted. And it is, you know, there's a lot of big, expensive houses that are still built out of the same kind of cheap junk that you build every other kind of tract house in the suburbs out of, sort of. But everything in this house is crafted like a piece of art. And it's just unbelievable. And what one thing the architects had said is, you know, you could only build a house like this in Toronto because of the diversity of the culture and the craftsmanship that are a result of the diverse population in this city. So there's a lot of first generation people that have come into Toronto that bring with them a lot of skills that they had learned and apprenticed with and utilized in other places. And, you know, you can't build places like that, houses like Integral House, in many other cities because there just simply is not that wealth of knowledge.
When was it built?
It was completed in 2009, and it began in 1999 on the search for the architects, and they held a design competition.
Wow.
So about a decade from concept to completion.
Wow.
So an investment not only financially, but in terms of time.
Mm-hmm. So do you think you will release another documentary at some point?
At this point, I spent a lot of time working on this one subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the information has all been documented, and it all exists, and it's all been transcribed. So I'm definitely going to be moving on to some other projects.
Right.
But I wouldn't put it. I'm a very thorough individual, and I'm a very methodical person. So
mm-hmm.
I tend to like things that have that are well researched, that then have an ability to be created. I'd probably create a completely different film, though. It would be a much raunchier and way more. There is incredible footage of these drag balls that Jim used to have at his house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like Paris is Burning kind of like drag balls and really epic, epic stuff. So it would be a way different film than this very contemplative, cerebral, you know, contemplation on life and meaning and light.
Because he sounds like did you ever meet him?
Jim?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We spent years together before we even found out he was sick.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's like, there couldn't be more duality, the quiet, you know, math professor that writes for 13 hours a day,
right,
who then holds these crazy parties or opens his house up to 200 or 300 people to have, like, Philip Glass perform in his, like, concert hall, and, you know, Misha Brugger-Gosman and some, you know, amazing, the New Orford String Quartet and Steve Reich and, like, just amazing, amazing musicians, and goes back the next day to working on the next iteration of one book. Or, you know, the last book he completed was biocalculus, so calculus for medical students.
Wow.
Which is kind of a new field in calculus, which didn't really exist, from what I understand.
So again, your documentary, Integral Man, and again, Integral is spelled I-N-T-E-G-R-A-L, Integral Man. It opens on Friday. And you originally were going to have a one-week run, but why?
I guess the tickets have been selling well for the show. So, yeah, it sold out at Hot Docs, and then they wanted to add more shows on at Hot Docs, but we wanted to kind of save the audience for the release. So
you better get work on part two.
Yeah.
The sequel. it'll be James's coming out party, so
yeah, basically, yeah.
A more raunchy sequel.
Yeah.
And Shannon Kelly, what, if you can say in a nutshell, why people should come out to the Real Heart International Film Festival, what will they get when they come to see?
Well, it won't just be films that they'll get. They'll get an experience with every film and documentary. We try to do not just the standard Q&A, but we try to bring in an expert or have an extended Q&A. And we also try to reach out to our folks around the world. So we do a lot of Q&As via Skype for people who weren't able to come to visit Real Heart. But it really is about the experience.
Yeah.
So start your Real Heart experience now if you haven't already, Toronto.
And on Thursday, July the 6th, that's the LGBTQ
It is, films. All day, filmed with pride.
And go to realheart.org, R-E-E-L, heart.org.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon Kelly, thank you for being here, 4th of July.
Thank you for, you know, asking us. We're so happy. We have a little something for you. Part 4th of July, part bling.
Okay.
Right here.
Okay. I can't see it, but cool. I look forward to it.
Put it on your wrist before I leave.
Oh, yay. And Joseph Clement.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for being on the show. And again, and this is, it's interesting because we met originally 2015 talking about this. You're working on it. You're wrapping up.
The in progress, yeah.
Yeah, and now here it is.
Yeah, 2 years later.
Yeah, yeah. And thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, everyone, stay with me because I will be right back.
Hi, I'm Mayor John Tory, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Rainbow country.
everyone, and welcome back. This is Rainbow Country, CIUT's gay radio show, and I am your gay host, Mark Tara. Hey, don't forget, get social, get interactive on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. Send me an email, mark@marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes as well as on podomatic.com. And again, everything is hooked up through my website, marktara.com. Pretty simple. Finally, I want to take this time to thank you for taking your time to be with me. Remember, we live in days of making dreams come true. So believe in yourself, and the world will believe in you.
Hi, this is Carol Pope on CIUT 89.5 FM.